This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
I know that everyone thinks their lives are perfect and they never have anything to complain about. But, you know, on some occasions.
Who thinks their life is perfect other than, like, you know, I don't know, Tiger Woods?
Let's say, who does have the perfect life? Or know, from an outsider.
Derek Jeter would be one that would come right to mind.
Derek Jeter, I'm sure, has.
Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds does pretty well.
George Clooney's isn't bad.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Who's JT. Clooney married to? Is he married?
Timberlake?
No, Clooney.
George Clooney?
Oh, I don't know.
I think Clooney's just been a bachelor most of the time, too. I mean, he's been kind of that way. I mean, he's just, that's the thing is when us guys look at someone having the perfect life.
Yeah.
The first thing that we look at to determine the qualification for having a perfect life, it's having a great roster what it is. If you're a guy like
Jeter's number one,
because you brought up Jeter, like is it because of his baseball career? Or is it more because of that he's had beautiful women around him all his life?
It's all of it.
Yeah,
all of it goes together.
Yeah, he's never really been in trouble, had any off the field stuff going on. I mean, it's pretty great
for the rest of us commoners. You know, for the rest of us folks out
normal
here that
people
that live, you know, an everyday 8-to-5 life, we got things to beef about.
Yeah,
and today's our day.
That's right. And that's what makes, I think it's a perfect setup, dude, because at Wednesday, on hump day, I feel like that's really where the things are at the worst.
You know, we had things from the weekend, obviously, with officiating in the NFL games, maybe the overtime rules that were a burr under your saddle, Razorback basketball. What's really still sticking with you on a Wednesday? What is it now, you know, 3 or 4 days after it's happened that you're still PO'd about?
I mean, I guess unless you're a Saints fan or somebody like that, but now it just like turns to work stuff. I feel like most people would probably have issues with. I mean, I know that's where mine's at.
Yeah.
I have problems with work stuff. Work stuff. All that work stuff.
I'm very interested to hear this.
No, Tommy, I am just very blessed and fortunate that I have a job.
You're almost in the Jeter category.
Yeah,
right?
Almost in the Jeter category. One more step and I'll be there.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is it makes it
what
funny.
What could be missing?
Yeah, it's just that. But that's what makes it funny is that when we look at people who have perfect lives and people that have it made, as we like to say, we always look towards athletes. We look towards, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And it's just funny because I'm sure that they don't feel like their life is perfect because I don't think anyone's life is perfect. Everyone's got problems. So that's what makes it great about today is that you can vent your frustrations to us and we will listen.
Make your notes, make your calls, and we'll take your calls here in just a bit. And we'll play part psychologist here.
Yeah.
We'll walk you through some of this morning.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. We'll make sure we do that. So, but we have a lot to talk about today. Obviously, we'll have some quick hitting headlines and really break it all down. Tonight's Arkansas playing Missouri in basketball in Bud Walton Arena.
8 p.m.
Yay.
Which is fine for a lot of people. Not for two guys that get up, you know, before 5 a.m. every morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was going to go to the... I really contemplated on going to this game, but the 8 o'clock thing, man. If it was 6 or 7, probably be there.
That's the thing is if it's a Saturday game. Something
got
like
a couple
that.
Tickets I got to give away today, you know?
Who you give them? Are you giving away?
I don't know. Okay. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what makes it tough. It's just you got to have it on television, though. I mean, that's why it's there.
Oh, I get it. I know why, and I'm grateful that I can watch the game on TV. Just seems like the nights I can go, my schedule's freed up. I can go like a Wednesday night.
Yeah,
it's always at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it's always those late.
And that's not a beef. It's just
reality.
It's just the reality of you want your cake and eat it too. You're going to have some 8 o'clock games. Your cake is that $42, $44 million you get a year from the SEC office. So, just the way it is.
Yeah. I'm sure they love the fans, but...
If you live in Russellville, or you live in Hot Springs, I'm not even drawing a big circle. Forget Little Rock or, you know, if you're listening in Camden or Fordyce or El Dorado this morning, or you know, that makes it impossible to do without spending the night. Well, I mean, if you're like most of us common folk, you got to be at work Thursday morning. You know, you can't take a vacation day to go see the basketball team play very often.
Yeah, especially play Missouri. When
exactly.
Not like a big marquee game.
I mean, you just you when you have an 8 o'clock game, the circle in our state, the geographic circle of where people are going to come from, is much smaller.
Yeah,
and that's why these Saturday games, I think, are going to be really important. I heard Derek Ruskin on with Ty and Phil yesterday talking about Anderson's future, and I thought he made an interesting point about the Saturday attendance. You know, what gets coaches fired? It's always attendance. You know, attendance is always up at the top of the list, and what leads to poor attendance is losing, lack of confidence. We can keep going down that list. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think it's games like tonight that the powers that be should really look at. It's how well do you draw? How big a crowd shows up? I thought this was an excellent point. Show up on Saturday games, the ones that are left. So, interesting to see what kind of crowds there tonight. I'd be surprised if it's larger than 12 or 13,000 for sure.
Yeah.
Which is still a good college basketball crowd.
Right.
But that's not the standard at Arkansas.
Right. And this is the thing, too, is that there's not really a whole lot of Saturday home games for Arkansas.
Nope.
I mean, just looking at the rest of the schedule, yeah, Mississippi State, that's a Saturday home game.
It's a good game.
You got Texas A&M.
Good. I mean, that's a game that usually will draw, but A&M's not a great team. Might be your best chance to see a home win as far as conference games.
Yeah, and then you have, is it Ole Miss? Yeah, they're ranked right now, so that could end up.
They'll bring some fans.
Yeah, that'll be right there. And then after that, Alabama. So all your home games on Saturdays are towards the end of the season. You don't have any for a while right now. Well, and so, yeah, I think.
Maybe good.
Well, that's.
Or maybe bad.
Yeah, because if it's at some point in time, because listen, if Arkansas loses to Missouri tonight and they drop.
It's going to be a while for the win.
Yeah, I mean, they drop to 1-5 if they lose tonight. They'll lose to Texas Tech on the road. I know it's not a conference game, but they'll lose that game on the road. And then they return back with Georgia, which, hey, could be a win. Could not be a win. I can't guarantee anything with this team right now. Doesn't matter who they play. Georgia's not a great team. Not a bad team. Not a great team, though. They're sitting at 9-8. So, but I'm not going to guarantee Arkansas beats them. Then they go on the road to LSU. Yeah. They're not winning that one. They return trip to Vanderbilt at home. You know, you thought South Carolina might have been one of those games that Arkansas could get a victory. Doesn't look that way either. I mean, there's just a lot of games going on right now that Arkansas doesn't have a lot of opportunities to take advantage and win. And that's why it was so critical in losing that Florida and LSU game at home, two games you should have won, and why it's put you behind the eight ball right now. I mean, you are legitimately looking at Arkansas only having three conference wins by mid-February. I mean, that's just unbelievable, but it's the reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the way that the season has gone so far, and obviously people just being so disappointed, it just makes it so much tougher on Mike Anderson, and really to defend Mike Anderson and saying, you know what, anyone who's being critical of him right now, I can't disagree. I can't sit here and say you're bad or you have a bad argument if someone has a problem with Mike Anderson and the performance of this team this year. I just can't.
Yeah.
Because we know that inexperience is there. We know that Daniel Gafford is a bona fide NBA player. At least he has the upside to be. I know he's been struggling in the past few games. But you have some pieces where you should be at least be able to win some games. And right now, this looks like Mike Anderson's worst team, which is hard to believe. But it right now, it's looking.
You just
like
shouldn't
it.
Be in this boat after 8 years. And and we understand the reasons why. No seniors, like you went through it.
Yeah,
your classes are out of balance. Shouldn't be that way in year 8. You know, we've always counted on Mike with his back to the wall, comes out swinging. He usually lands some punches. About time to start landing some punches, Mike.
Yeah. You're backed up into a corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually when you've been able to perform your best.
You're getting beat on a little bit right now.
How do you respond?
Mm-hmm.
How do you punch back?
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
...2019 live racing season begins this Friday. Also on Friday, we're going to have our Oaklawn Handicappers with us, and we'll give you some picks for the weekend. We're going to do that on Fridays at around 8:15 or so. So make sure if you're headed to the races, you join us each and every Friday for some picks for the weekend with Pick Suey. And they're Brad Norwood with Pick Suey is going to be with us this year to give us some handicapping insights and some picks. So looking forward to getting racing back underway this Friday and us being at Oaklawn.
That's right. So, starting things off. Oh, I mean,
yeah, a lot of new stuff coming there too.
We'll yeah.
Be, a new hotel that's in the plans and a lot of expansion soon to be underway.
Yeah. And I'm always wondering that if, you know, Arkansas ever did the whole sports gambling thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's coming at some point.
Which I think it's, you know, just a matter of when, not if, but you know, what would Hot Springs and Oaklawn, and I mean, it would really just blow up at even a bigger deal than what it is now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's always some fun stuff to go on down at Oaklawn and Hot Springs. So I know we're looking forward to it and hanging down there. And I don't know. There's just something about horse racing that just really.
Something about Hot Springs, too.
Yeah. I'm going to try to win some money when we're down there. Can we?
Yeah, we're going. I'm going to go to a few races. Be there. You want to go?
Yeah.
All right. We'll hang out.
Okay. Sounds good. Just made plans on the air. Yeah. So.
Sure.
Ty's got the board. But yeah. Appreciate it.
We'd take Ty, but he's got a show from noon to two. So, I mean.
You wanted a show, Ty.
Yeah,
you got
that's
a show.
Just what comes with it?
I didn't want a show. Tommy's just like, you got to do a show from 12 to 2.
You didn't want a show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just twisted your arm and forced you. It's like, you're going to do it with Phil Elson. You're going to like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure that's exactly how it all went down.
You want us to call in from Rockies across the street as we're eating a pizza and
was that Chicago over style that? Pizza?
Was that where we went last time? I think it was Rockies that is where we went.
Right across the street from the track?
Yes.
Right, yeah, it was Rockies.
It was that, and then we also went to McLeod's, I believe that was down
yes.
there, too.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
What's that big old mess because the story behind that McLeod's thing is the chef came in hungover as hell one morning, and they're like, all right, we got to get him woken up. And so they just started throwing, like, barbecue nachos and all this crap on a plate.
We had some stuff that was the tamale spread. It was good. And then, they brought out some kind of mess. I think they call it a mess. I don't know, but look that up. But it was good.
Mm. I saw an ad McLeod's. I love their barbecue sauce.
Yeah. No. You've not been to McLeod's?
Really? No, you're missing out.
Well, good stuff.
We'll let you know how it goes when we go down there in Hot Springs this weekend.
Should we send him a picture?
Well, I think that's become the commonality when it comes to our group text, that if one of us is at a place where we're eating and having something lovely and want to show off, we take a picture and send it to the group to make everybody jealous. Tommy did that over the weekend.
I did.
He was making, what was it, pork chops? Was that what it was?
I made some really thick bone-in pork loin pork chops. And I sent a picture and I got a reply about, you know, the grammar police over here, Mr. Richardson, you know, instead of saying, hey, those look good or something, you know, he had to give a smart alecky. Because I used the wrong context or the wrong spelling of your.
I don't actually.
I'm in a hurry. I don't have time to make sure the apostrophe R-E is in there.
First thing I text was, wow, thanks for the invite. And then we went into that conversation because you said, you're welcome, while you are, instead of you are.
Yeah.
Well,
voice text doesn't know the difference, you know.
I figured it should. But
it should. That's the problem. Yeah.
So it's not Tommy's
fault. Maybe that's my beef.
Text.
It's all you snooty people out there that when you don't have the right "your" and they're on text, just want to go sideways. You know.
Hey, but the thing is,
I'm screaming.
I appreciate the people that go sideways because now what it does is it makes me double check everything that I'm going to tweet out grammatically and make sure, because there's been times where I tweeted out, see mistakes, and I got to delete the tweet real quick and fix that.
Probably with a text with Ty, I will make sure I use the wrong
version. I've done that one time in 6 months. One time. So don't act like I'm the grammar police.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
He's the grammar police, folks. He's one of those guys.
Yeah. Well, it's just people want to get.
Like, he was so confused as to what I was trying to tell him.
Well, see, Tommy, that's the problem, is that we don't want to be factually correct. We just want to be morally right, remember? Facts don't matter.
Well, is it about being right or about getting it right? There's too many people in this world, it's about being right. I got to be right rather than getting it right.
That's pretty deep, Tommy. Yeah. That's I have to use that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just called a tamale spread, guys.
There you go. Dog on a bone, folks.
Oh, man.
The tamale spread is pretty good.
It's just covered in cheese.
Yeah, we had one of those. We had a half a order of one of those.
So what you're saying is that
when me and John were there last year,
that when I come back from Oaklawn, I'm probably going to have to do one of those morning and afternoons.
More lunges.
Yeah, more lunges. That's fine. It's worth it to
me. I'll bring the leftovers and sit on a 5-gallon bucket and watch you.
Yeah, hey, it's completely...
And eat the rest of the tamale spread.
You bring the leftovers, I'll eat them Monday morning at 6 a.m.
Well, see, and that's the thing is, like, we talk about, and we've talked about food on this show, because I think, of course, we love food, but also everybody loves food. Everyone right. loves food, but it just, I've always thought about, if I didn't do a sports talk radio show, if I still wanted to do some type of show, it would be a food show.
Oh, that's like, the next thing I want to do is like a barbecue blog or a barbecue yeah. video blog, something...
Yeah,
you know,
it'd be
some
great.
Kind of video thing with barbecue involved.
Yeah, like almost like it's like a Food Network.
Why do
type
you laugh,
thing.
Ty?
That just doesn't seem like your personality to
do
be
a vlogger.
A vlogger?
I know food is one thing, but for you to start like so you wouldn't, vlogging you wouldn't, it, you wouldn't, vlogging it,
you wouldn't subscribe and watch.
No, I would.
Me give the latest rib rub trick and tip that.
It just doesn't
I've come across well, how much brown sugar should be in your rib rub this week.
To piggyback off of what Ty is saying, though, I think it would be funny is, you see the video and you have Tommy like sitting there, hello, I'm Tommy Kraft. got a great spread for you today. Like just, doing it that way would be pretty funny to see.
I want to tell you about my butt.
Yeah, well, I got it.
It's a pork butt.
I love putting rub on my pork butt. And
rub on my butt.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. Tommy wouldn't be able to make it because he'd be sitting there laughing at himself the whole time when he's making these jokes.
By the way, I'm looking at Rocky's Pizza's menu and just pictures mm-hmm. of the stuff.
I don't know why you're doing it because, you're not going to be
able
to
He's helping us. He's researching for us. For our
well, appreciate
what
it.
To order.
Yeah,
what
let us order. Know. Let us know what we what, need to what, order.
You pick out which one you want us to send you a picture of during the midst of your show, and we'll handle that.
Yeah. If I get a picture during halftime next week of some of this pizza, I'm just going to walk out of the studio.
Yeah, it's going to happen like in 2 days.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we'll let you know. But the thing is I've always thought about doing, I'd love to do like a Food Network show of just talking about food. Like some of these guys, like Guy Fieri, would you not love to have that job? Like just where you...
We're talking about guys with perfect lives. We talk about Jeter. That's who we should be. Like Guy Fieri. There's the guy.
He gets paid millions to eat food and talk about it. Like what could be a better job? Because, to be a great athlete, but that requires a lot of work. Keep your body in shape and
I don't
all
know
that.
Who... There's a new guy.
Food?
It's not Adam Richman that does Man versus Food. There's a new guy now.
Yeah.
Casey something. I don't know his name. Anyway.
Is the show still going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a new host.
I haven't watched it since Richman left.
Like Adam Richman's cholesterol went to 1,100 and they had to take him
off
the air.
Can't imagine why.
And they got a new guy in there.
Yeah.
And that would be the,
That'd be the ultimate job. Yeah. Just you go around, you eat food.
You may die early, but you're going to go with a smile.
Yeah.
What about a combination like Todd Blackledge with ESPN? He's now paired
That's a pretty
with
good deal.
Yeah.
Sean McDonough. He has
Taste of the Town.
Todd's Taste of the Town in Fayetteville. Yeah. He went to Herman's, Doe's, and he went to Mama Dean's before it closed down. Did you ever go there?
Yeah.
Mama Dean's was great.
That was my favorite place in Fayetteville until the rumor was taxes.
You got to pay. Apparently, you got to pay taxes. Yeah.
Gosh.
I heard about that. It's in all the papers.
I get up there freshman year, and we drop off my stuff at the dorm. It's like, all right, Dad, let's go to Mama Dean's. We get there, and it's closed. I was like, what's going on? I asked around. It's like,
do they have a trailer
down.
Still? They had a food trailer at one time.
I think it's not there anymore. Yeah, so those food trucks on
Mama Dean's is in
through.
The old Mr. Burger.
Yeah, way back when on school, right? Yeah, on Old School Avenue. So,
in the middle of nowhere.
That was awesome.
I'm glad you know what that is. Yeah. I thought I was going to have to explain it. I knew
What's
he
that?
Would be in
Fayetteville. Mama Dean's? Oh, that was like destination.
Well, what's funny, though, all this was brought up because, yesterday was National Southern Food Day, which apparently that's a thing, which is fine by me. And it was actually
like every day.
Yeah. And I was asking Tommy about this during the commercial break where Alex McDaniel, she writes for Red Cup Rebellion. She asked, since it's National Southern Food Day, what is your most controversial Southern food take?
Hmm.
And what I came up with, and apparently it is controversial because I had people yelling at me, was that I don't believe beans belong in chili. It's fine if you think so. But
I kind of agree with that.
But a lot of people say, no, that means it's soup when there's no beans in chili.
Well, I have always made chili with beans, but our guy Stan's been bringing us some chili, and it's got no beans.
It's
made me rethink because it's really, really good. And I got one daughter that she hates beans. So if I make chili... But the family seems to like chili with no beans. I'm kind of coming around. I used to always believe you got to have beans to have chili.
Not anymore. I mean, there's a lot of people that are going
that's
that
route. That's a Texas thing, right? No beans in the chili? That's a Texas thing.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
We all know my controversial one. Sweet tea and mac and cheese are trash.
That's just unbelievable.
No, that is controversial. That's
sweet
for sure.
Tea and mac, and that's like the cornerstones.
Yeah.
That's the foundational blocks of Southern food.
And that's the only one would be worse saying you hate cornbread. I mean, cornbread is like the ultimate Southern food. But, you know,
let me throw one out for you.
What's that?
It's going to be bad here.
What's that?
Chicken fried steak's overrated.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible. That's a bad.
I like chicken fried steak, but it's just overrated. I mean, there's so many better selections.
That's bad. So what is it about it that's overrated? Is it just other than just the taste, obviously. But
you
is
take
it just
a good piece of meat, you hammer it out to paper thin, and then you fry it. I mean, which is good. I mean, it tastes good. I just think
you'd rather
of all
have
the
your
Southern
meat done
foods,
something
like, of, yeah. of all the Southern foods you're going to have, it's not. A lot of people would put that number one. I would not put chicken fried steak at the top of the list.
Okay.
I want to go to Calico.
I mean, that's
Calico's got a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. That is a controversial take, that's for sure. But, you know,
go big or go home.
Like some people on Twitter, though, were saying that grits aren't any good. Some people don't like grits.
Grits got to be with like shrimp. I like it New Orleans style, you know, like shrimp and grits.
Well, there's so many ways to prepare it.
Right.
I mean, you can have it with like brown sugar and cinnamon, or you can have it with shrimp, as you say. So,
right.
I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it. Pimento cheese is not good. That's actually one I agree with, too. I'm not a fan of
pimento. My dad loves pimento cheese.
Grilled pimento cheese sandwiches? Bring it on.
You're a fan of that?
We don't eat a lot of pimento cheese, but yeah, I like pimento cheese.
What about boiled peanuts?
I haven't had those since the beach.
Yeah.
I'm
like
not a fan of
middle
them,
school.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. Anyways.
I like the Cajun peanuts. A little
spice. Those are good. Those are good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There's our dedicated segment for the week on food for the National Southern Food
And
Day.
We will be sending Ty a picture during his show on Friday.
Yep.
And
we'll probably be posting
something cheesy and delicious we are chowing down on while he is supposedly working.
Yeah.
Joke's on you when I order a pizza to the studio.
Well, I guess
eat it mid-show.
Hey, we can keep one-upping each other in this competition.
Fine.
That's for sure.
We'll be at Rocky's across the street from Oakland. And, you won't be.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Alex Schiffer, he's the Mizzou Athletics beat writer for the Kansas City Star. Going to get into a lot of info with him. Alex, appreciate you joining us this morning. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing really good, and we've been talking a little bit about this game, and we know what this Arkansas team has done this year where, you know, it looked like they got off to a good start, but they've been reeling from the past few weeks. They're sitting at 10-7, 1-4 in conference. There's a lot of disappointment, a lot of frustration with Razorback fans. They welcome in Missouri tonight, whose record's pretty similar. Missouri's sitting at 10-6. They're 1-3 in conference. You covered the team, obviously. So just kind of give us the storyline of what's been going on with this Missouri team and how did they get to the record that they have today?
Yeah, well, I think it's worth pointing out that they lost Jontae Porter before the start of the year to an ACL and MCL tear, and they kind of had to go back to the drawing board with how they were going to run some things. And, I mean, the non-conference schedule, they really didn't have a bad loss. I mean, they lost to Kansas State, Temple, and drawing a blank on the list, and Iowa State. Iowa State lost as aged well. The Temple loss, they were right there. I think that's the one they'd like back. And Kansas State was, I think, top 15 or so when they played them. So they looked pretty good coming out of the non-con, and then Tennessee did what Tennessee does and blew them out building in their SEC opener. They had a weird deal when they played South Carolina at their place of travel issues because we had a snowstorm hit Missouri. That game got pushed back a day. Missouri showed some fight but didn't really do much afterwards. And then they lost to Alabama before blowing out A&M this past week. And really, just like Arkansas, I mean, when Missouri's post player, Jeremiah Tillman, is on the floor and out of foul trouble. Missouri's 19-2 in games that he scores at least 10 points. He really changes the dynamic for them without Jontae Porter. And he said after the A&M game that the refs have kind of been working with him a little more about you know, help me help you, you know, listen to us how we're calling things, and, you know, we'll try to keep you on the floor. But really it kind of starts with him, and then they have some good backcourt guys, Jordan Geist and Mark Smith. Jordan Geist has completely remade himself. He's Missouri's heart and soul of the team, and they need him on the floor as much as Tillman sometimes.
Alex, we were talking earlier whether or not this is the feel of a rivalry game. Arkansas and Missouri have played for a long time, going back to Nolan and Norm, having always played every year till Missouri joined the league. Then Mike Anderson leaves Missouri to come to Arkansas. But to us, it doesn't feel like this game has the rivalry feel around it like it maybe should, because of the proximity, because of the history. How does Missouri feel about playing Arkansas? Is it just another game, or is there a little more on the line when the Hogs are on the schedule?
Yeah, you know, we were talking to Kevin Puryear, who's a KC native on the team, yesterday about this. And I jokingly call him the unofficial team historian because he grew up a Missouri fan. He watched a lot of Mike's teams growing up when Mike was at Missouri. He said he doesn't consider it a rivalry. I think Missouri fans consider Kansas more of one. Illinois, they play every year, obviously, in St. Louis. I think those are more of one. And also, you know, the Arkansas does really well recruiting in state. You know, Missouri doesn't really go for a lot of their guys like, you know, Illinois and Kansas with some of the local recruiting battles. So I think that kind of downplays it too. And, you know, I think there was a little more juice when Mike first left for Arkansas, but I think now it's died down a little bit.
What do most people in Missouri think about the job that Quanzo Martin has done? Obviously, getting him in that first year with some of the recruits that came along with him, there was a lot of excitement and buzz around him. They made it to the NCAA tournament last year. We know that they had some injuries that they had to deal with. But now here he is in his second year, 10-6, 1-3 in conference. Are people still happy and excited about the future of Quanzo Martin? Are they a little cautiously optimistic? What's the feeling for Quanzo right now?
I still think they love him, and I think part of that is you look at the situation he inherited. I mean, Conzo's already won more games in his year and a half than Kim Anderson won in his 3 years combined as Missouri's coach. So that statistic alone puts him in good fortune with the fans. And I think that the coaching job he did last year was incredibly underrated. He loses the top pick in the draft 2 minutes into the season, and he still gets them into the NCAA tournament. I thought that was a very underrated job nationally. And this year we'll see. I mean, I think people have thought that Missouri's been better than they thought they'd be once Jontay Porter went down. But it remains to be seen. I think a win tonight will put the NIT as an option maybe back in Missouri's hands. But it's tough to say. You know, you could see the future he's building. A lot of the young backcourt players they have, a lot of people are saying, you know, it give those guys a couple years and maybe they could really be something. But I think right now, given that he's lost his best player each of his first two seasons, he's kind of gotten the benefit of the doubt from fans.
Certainly can't be easy, that's for sure. We're speaking with Alex Schiffer, a Mizzou beat writer for the Kansas City Star right now on the Morning Rush. Alex, Missouri coming into Arkansas, we all know that Bud Walton Arena is a really tough place to play. Arkansas has not actually played at home very well this season, lost a few games they probably shouldn't have. But Missouri to come into Arkansas and get back on the winning track and get a nice road victory, what are they going to have to make sure that they do and make sure that Arkansas doesn't do if they want to get out of there with a victory?
Take care of the ball. That press, Mike's press, is built to Missouri's Achilles heel. They're terrible with ball security. They have always had turnover issues. The one thing that's been interesting with Conzo, and maybe it's part of the personnel he inherited, but before he got to Missouri, his teams never really had turnover issues. And last year they were a huge issue, and this year they've been one too. If Missouri stays under 15 turnovers, I think they have a chance to win this game. If it goes over that, then they'll probably lose. And obviously, Mike's press is built to pressure the ball all game, essentially. And Missouri's going to really have to take care of the ball if they want to keep this close and within striking distance.
This will be the sixth game in league play for Arkansas. So we're at a third of the way through conference play. What's your evaluation of the SEC, where basketball's at? Tennessee's obviously real good. How good is this league, Alex, beyond the Tennessee Volunteers?
I think the SEC right now reminds me a lot of the way it was last year, where a lot of teams are kind of beating up on each other, and there's a very thin margin between second, third, fourth, and so on. I think LSU was the second-best team in this league when they played to their potential. They're loaded with talent there, but they've had a lot of growing pains. Ole Miss has been a very pleasant surprise that no one saw coming. Their leading scorer, Bree Tyree, is actually a high school classmate of mine. I'm happy for his success, but I didn't see Kermit Davis turning that around so quickly. Mississippi State lost to Kentucky last night, but obviously they've been, you know, a top 25 team. So I think that, you know, I wasn't totally surprised when Florida beat Arkansas in Bud Walton, just because that's kind of what happened last year. Just you saw these wins that you were like, wait, what? And I think there's been a lot of that this year, too.
Yeah, certainly going to see how it plays out. Really appreciate you joining us. Alex Schiffer, Mizzou Athletics beat writer for the Kansas City Star. Have fun at the game tonight, man, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with you later down the road, all right?
Sounds good. Take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod and Ruskin is Ranting podcast on HitThatLine.com.